ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, titled Pure Devotion Service, text number 11. Etavane vayajatam.
Etavane vayajatam.
Etavane vayajatam.
Etavane vayajatam.
Nishreya sodayaha. ఇహ నిశ్రేయసోదయః భగవత్యజలో భావో యద్భాగవత సంగతః ఏతావానేవ యజతాం ఇహ నిశ్రేయసోదయః భగవత్యచిలో భావో యద్భాగవత సంగతః ఏతావానేవ యజతాం ఇహ నిశ్రేయసోదయః భగవత్యచిలో భావో యద్భాగవత సంగతః ఏతావానేవ యజతాం ఇహ నిశ్రేయసోదయః భగవత్యచలో భావో యద్భాగవత సంగతః ఏతావాన్. All these different kinds of worshippers. Eva. Certainly. Yajatam. While worshipping. Iha. In this life. Nishreyasa. The highest benediction. Udayaha. Development. Bhagavati. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achalaha, unflinching, bhava, spontaneous attraction, yet, which, bhagavata, the pure devotee of the Lord, sangadaha, association. Translation, all the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Salam purport. We had to hear very carefully. All living entities in different statuses of life within the material creation, beginning from the first demigod Brahma down to the small ant, are conditioned under the laws of material nature or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity in his pure state is conscious of the fact that he is a part and parcel of the Lord, but he is thrown into the material world on account of his desire to lord it over material energy. He becomes conditioned by the three modes of material nature and thus struggles for existence for the highest benefit. This struggle for existence is something like following the will of the wisp under the spell of material enjoyment. All plans of material enjoyment, either by worship of different demigods as described in the previous verses of this chapter, or by modernized advancement of scientific knowledge without the help of God or demigod, are illusory only. For despite all such plans of happiness, the conditioned living being within the compass of material creation can never solve the problems of life, namely birth, death, old age and disease. The history of the universe is full of such plan makers, and many kings and emperors come and go, leaving plan making stories only. But the prime problem of life remains unresolved despite all endeavors by such plan makers. Actually, human life is meant for making a solution to the problems of life. One can never solve such problems by satisfying the different demigods, by different modes of worship, or by so-called scientific advancement in knowledge without the help of God or the demigods. Apart from the gross materialists who care very little either for God or for the demigods, the Vedas recommend worship of different demigods for different benefits. And so the demigods are neither false nor imaginary. The demigods are as factual as we are, but they are much more powerful due to their being engaged in the direct service of the Lord in managing different departments in the universal government. The Bhagavad Gita affirms this, and the different planets of the demigods are mentioned there, including the one of the supreme demigod, Lord Brahma. The gross materialists do not believe in the existence of God or the demigods, nor do they believe in different planets are dominated by different demigods. They are creating a great commotion about reaching the closest celestial body, Chandraloka, or the moon. But even after much mechanical research, they have only very scanty information of the moon. And in spite of such false advertisement for selling land on the moon, the puffed up scientists or gross materialists cannot live there. And what to speak of reaching the other planets, which they are unable even to count. However, the followers of the Vedas have a different method of acquiring knowledge. They accept the statement of the Vedic literatures as authority in toto, as they have already discussed in Canto 1, and therefore they have full and reasonable knowledge of God and demigods and of their different residential planets situated within the compass of the material world and beyond the limit of material sky. The most authentic Vedic literature accepted by the great Indian acharyas like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka and Chaitanya, and studied by all important personalities of the world. In the Bhagavad Gita, in which the worship of the demigods and their respective residential planets are mentioned, the Bhagavad Gita 9:25 affirms, Yanti deva vratan devan pidran yanti pidran vratan bhutani yanti bhudejya yanti madhyajina opimam. The worshippers of the demigod reach the respective planet of the demigods, and the worshippers of forefathers reach the planet of forefathers. The gross materialists remain in the different material plane, but the devotees of the Lord reach the kingdom of God. We also have information from the Bhagavad Gita that all the planets within the material world, including Brahmaloka, are but temporarily situated, and after a fixed period they are annihilated. Therefore, the demigods and their followers are all annihilated at the period of devastation. But one who reaches the kingdom of God gets a permanent share in the eternal life. That is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. The worshippers of the demigods have only facility more than the unbelievers due to their being convinced of the Vedic version, by which they can get information of the benefit of worshipping the Supreme Lord in the association of the devotees of the Lord. The gross materialist, however, without any faith in the Vedic version, remains eternally in darkness, driven by the false conviction on the basis of imperfect experimental knowledge, or the so-called material science, which can never reach into the realm of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, unless the gross materialists or the worshippers of the temporary demigods come in contact with a transcendentalist like a pure devotee of the Lord, their attempts are simply a waste of energy. Only by the grace of the divine personalities the pure devotees of the Lord, can one achieve pure devotion, which is the highest perfection of human life. Only a pure devotee of the Lord can show one the right way of progressive life. Otherwise, both the materialistic way of life without any information of God or demigods, and the life engaged in worship of demigods in pursuit of temporary material enjoyment are different phases of phantasmagoria. They are nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita also, but the Bhagavad Gita can be understood in the association of pure devotees only, and not by the interpretations of politicians or dry philosophical speculators. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kruva Sindhubhyevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto is very important. In the beginning, this chapter gave a beautiful summary of demigod worship, giving what are different benefits of worshipping different demigods. And finally, the whole demigod worship was kind of rejected, being presenting a highest platform of worship, which is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So that was yesterday's verse. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So the highest worship is worshipping Krishna, yajeta purusham param. Even if we have material desire, or if we are completely devoid of material desire, or if one is after liberation, the recommended process is to worship Krishna by tivrena. Tivrena means with full intensity. So it is not mentioned that one can be slack, one can be spaced out. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So one has to take the process with full intensity. That is the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially this chapter, because this is the third chapter in the second canto, which is building up to the pure devotional service. So far, initially, the universal form worship was mentioned in the first chapter. Then the Lord in the heart was presented. And ultimately, bhakti in its pure form is presented in this chapter, and it is emphasized. The first section of this purport explains demigod worship and the equivalent scientific arrangements of the modern times. So there are different demigods who can benefit us in different ways. First of all, one need to have faith that demigods exist. So the second para in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that as much as we are real in this world, that much even the demigods are real, they are present. So they have the ability to fulfill the desires of
the living entities. Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, presents, along with the creation of the living entities, the demigods were created. The humans were created, and even before, the demigods were created. And this arrangement was mentioned that by worshipping the demigods, one's material demands could be fulfilled. So this arrangement was made by the Supreme Lord even at the beginning of the creation. So in previous yugas, this system was present intact. And currently, only a perverted reflection of this system is present. To some degree. Especially in India, we can see the system present to some degree. Not to the fullest extent. The place where I am from, sometimes when you drive through the highway, you could see some people sitting, meditating on the sun god. They are sitting on, you know, on a hill or in a bit raised platform there early in the morning by 6 o'clock or so. People are sitting and they are looking at the sun. And they are trying to, the sun is not so hot, and the sun, the rays are there to some degree. And they are trying to meditate on the sun for the sole purpose of benefit of the body. And some of them, they have achieved some kind of perfection, by reducing their eating. They don't have to eat so much. Once a week, they are surviving by eating only once a week. Because they are deriving energy from the sun god. So sun is considered the demigod for health. We can see in the couple of verses before it's mentioned. Sun is the demigod for the health. So people do worship sun god so that they can get good health. Even higher is the worship of Lord Shiva. Why? Because one is little bit above the bodily platform of life. The ultimate aspect of worshipping Lord Shiva is to get impersonal liberation. So they are not so much, you know, enamored by the material world. They have understood the sufferings of the material world, at least to some degree. So they are now after liberation. So they take upon worshipping Lord Shiva. So that is the impersonal concept, the impersonal understanding of the Absolute in the form of Brahma Jyoti. Here Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this point. The demigods are for real. They are there. In fact, many of the impersonalists, they deny demigods. How? They say worshipping any demigod is all the same. And ultimately, it is we have to merge. So even if you worship any demigod, or if you create any demigod, whomever you worship, ultimately we can merge into the Absolute. In that way, even they deny the existence of demigods. Even the so-called worshippers of Lord Shiva, if you ask in detail, who do you worship? Do you want to go to the planet of Lord Shiva? Is that your aim? Many of them say, no. They say, ultimately, Shiva means Jyoti. I have seen people saying, ultimately, Shiva means just Jyoti. And we want to merge into this impersonal light. So that is the ultimate aim. Srila Prabhupada says, even we cannot accept, those who are materialists cannot accept the existence of demigods, nor other planets. Even the so-called impersonalists who say everything is one, everything is worshipping, any worship is the same, even they literally reject the existence of demigods. Even though they take the demigods as a tool, as a means to achieve something else. Srila Prabhupada here compares the demigod worship to the mechanical arrangement that is present in the modern age. So Srila Prabhupada makes it quite graphic that people want to go to the moon. People want to go to the other planets. Expeditions. There are so many kinds of expeditions. The expeditions of this world has come to an end. It is no more attractive. It is no more adventurous. So for the rich people, those who are really rich, they have expedition to other planets. So if you want, you can book a ticket. You can pay a lot of money and the rockets are ready and they will launch you into the outer space. So there are different expeditions. So people do go. And one time, I remember last year, I gave a seminar in the university. And the title of the seminar was Journey to the Moon versus Journey to the Heart. Actually, a lot of people came. When they saw this title, a lot of people came. It was quite unexpected. I was wondering whether anyone would come for this talk. But it was advertised and a lot of people came, more than expected. So I asked, why do people go to other planets? What's your answer? So there was a group of people, maybe 30, 35, not bad. So people started giving many, many reasons. One interesting reason was tourism. Because the tourism here of this world is finished, you know, people have gone so many times, you know, so many countries. Now we want something new. So that is, okay, go to other planets. Expedition to other planets. Then another reason was resources. Because we have already in a soup, because of resource depletion, which we are awaiting, now also we are going through and which we are awaiting in the future. We have messed up this planet, so we should go to other planets. Because we can mess up that planet also. Mm-hmm. So there were many reasons. Some people were saying, no, it is pretty difficult, you know, resources are there, but you had to consider one thing. He was a scientist, he was studying physics. To transport those resources from the other planets to Earth, that would cost a lot of fuel. So we had to be practical, you know. We had to really analyze into the practicality of bringing resources from other planets to this planet. So people are going on and on. Many, many reasons. Why do we have to go to other planets? So it became a, you know, quite a bit of, you know, discussion. Okay, we are very interested in going to other planets. But the reality is, whether we go anywhere, we are not happy. Why? Because we cannot change ourselves. The mind that we have is the same wherever we go. The problems that we have remains the same. Right? Like people go overseas. Australians, they go overseas for travel a lot. Many people, if you meet people, yeah, I have gone. Many people in this Bhagavad Gita, yes, I have gone to India. I have gone to Nepal. Next vacation, I'm going here, there. If you go to the uni, if you speak to people, local people, immediately they give you their plan. Next semester, I may be here, may not be here, because I'm traveling. So one professor was mentioning, oh, if I get local students, it's a headache. He was a professor, so he was enrolling research students. He was making this point. That, you know, if I get local students, it's a big problem. Because after 1 year, they want to travel. So the project becomes incomplete. So, I have to get the real ones who are really interested. So I'm very selective. If I get international students, it is good. Because they are stuck. Because otherwise they had to leave this country. So they are stuck. So they will do all the study, all the work, and they finish. So he was making this point. So we want to travel. Why? Here, people want to travel, and we also wanted to travel, and we traveled, and that's why we are here, right? If we come from overseas, many of us are from India or other countries. Why we are here? Because we thought, by coming to other place, we will be happy. We will open another door for good fortune. We thought like that. However, the reality remains the same, that we are not happy anyway. Whatever we do, we are not happy. We have tried many things, and to extend this, not only this lifetime, we were actually traveling many, many lifetimes. Millions of lifetimes we were traveling in different species. We were under the sea, we don't have to do scuba diving. We were under the sea already. We had that experience. I had a friend, you know, he was telling, now I have the license for, you know, such, you know, so many meters. I have the license for 15 meters or 20 meters, I don't know, whichever. Now I want to go for the next license where I can go for, you know, 50 meters. What's the point? If you are so interested, you can actually live in the deep down in the ocean, free license, next lifetime. It is given. You can take it for granted. If you want this, nature will provide. So, we were continuing this journey for so many lifetimes, in so many species, maybe in so many planets. So, there is nothing new in it. One sannyasi was giving a lecture here, and one person, little crazy fellow, he walked in and he was creating a bit of noise, or you know, somehow that asked him to go out. So he was on the door and he said, "No, this is not my place. I want to travel." So this sannyasi told, "You have traveled so many lifetimes. Now you chant Hare Krishna." So this is the message for all of us. We have traveled so much. Now this is the time to chant Hare Krishna and make an end to this fruitless travel and go to the real travel, which is to the spiritual world. So here, Srila Prabhupada continues, "Actually, human life is meant for making a solution to the problems of life." So important. It's a junction where we can make a decision where we want to go. It's up to us. In fact, people think the philosophy of Vedas, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is fatalism. It is fatalistic. That is all set. Now what can we do? It's all set. It's all karma. It's you. What can you do? You are stuck. How can we make any change to life? It's all done. You know, the whole life, everything is set. All aspects of our life is set. It is karma. People think like that. Yeah, it's a fact to it. All the life, not this lifetime, next lifetime, everything is set. Everything is there. So, what's the whole point? So, Vedanta Sutra answered this question. Vedanta Sutra says, Shastra Arthavatvat. Actually, Shastra is Arthavat. There is a meaning for Shastra. Shastra is not just presented to give us the problems, as if we don't have any problems. We already have problems, and when we read Bhagavad Gita, we hear more problems. Okay, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha, Doshana, Darshana. We hear, okay, the classifications of problems. So one may think, why the scriptures are only providing problems? Or even if there is a solution, if the life is fatalistic, how can the solution be applied? How can we actually get that? But Vedanta Sutra says, Shastra is meaningful because if you take the instructions of the Shastra, one can make a change to one's life. Even though apparently things are set, the ball is in your court. We can make change to our life. We can make all the change. We can change the destination. In the verse, Dishto eva atmani sharet. You know, Tathara Jasamo Bhava, that verse in that series, finally it's concluding, Dishto eva atmani sharet. One can see that one is the controller. Ishvara. One can see Atma as Ishvara. What does that mean? Are we presenting impersonal philosophy? That Atma is Ishvara? Atma is God? We are God? No. Atma and Ishvara, there it means, Ishvara means one is controller of one's own destiny. A devotee is the controller of his destiny. We are not denying the mercy aspect of the Lord. But one has the free will to act in such a way that one can find a solution to the problems of life. And that is the key element in human form of life. So that is presented in here. So the gross materialist, they have no faith whatsoever in God or demigods. And we may also wonder, is there any demigods? But a pure devotee, he has access even to demigods. They can see demigods if Krishna wishes. As Srila Prabhupada did, one of the preaching program was arranged and Srila Prabhupada went and hardly any guests were there. Only a few people. Very few people. And devotees were there, leading kirtan. Srila Prabhupada was there and Srila Prabhupada gave a very beautiful lecture, and at the end of the lecture, devotees, they became very apologetic. They told Srila Prabhupada, "Look, we are very sorry that the guests didn't come. You know, it was quite, you know, it was in very good because not many guests came." Srila Prabhupada said, "That's all right. Didn't you see? Narada Muni came." Oh, so devotees became completely shocked. Narada Muni came? Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, Narada Muni was sitting." So this is, Srila Prabhupada can see Devashi, who is the sage, he's the sage of the demigods. He can see that. Srila Prabhupada has that vision. In London, Srila Prabhupada said during Arati, Lord Shiva comes to attend Arati. Gaurarati, Lord Shiva comes. In Gaurarati we do sing, right? Shiva Shuka Narata Preme Gata Gata. So Lord Shiva comes. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay, make an asana for demigods. Okay, so that is there. The pure devotee not only accept Krishna, but they do accept demigods as well. We have difficulty in accepting Krishna to the fullest extent, same as demigods. So, one who has completely developed faith in Vedic literature, they have complete acceptance of gods and the demigods. There is a very interesting aspect to Srila Prabhupada's faith in Vedic literature. Again, the same context, when the moon landing issue happened. The moon, it was a big thing in 70s, big thing, the moon landing, big thing. The man has gone to the outer space and have landed in moon. So one of the disciples, early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was completely taken aback by the statements of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, they haven't gone to moon. Prabhupada asked, when they went there, what did they see? So they said, they saw nothing, just barren land. Srila Prabhupada said, no, they haven't gone there. Then Srila Prabhupada said, if they have actually gone to the moon, then they would have stayed there. Why did they come back? Because there is a superior civilization there, according to Vedic literature. Whereas here is an inferior civilization, then why did they come back? So, Srila Prabhupada had emphatic faith in Vedas. And this particular devotee, he eventually, unfortunately, left the movement because of this reason. You know, I can't believe in this. So Srila Prabhupada made this very, very important point. Srila Prabhupada said, he doesn't have to believe me. If he wants to deny me, no problem, he can do that. But how can he deny Shastra? How can he deny Veda? So this was the faith of Srila Prabhupada in Vedic literature. One time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur was going on a walk along with his disciples. Now you can imagine, great Acharya Simha Guru, he is walking with his disciples. And he pointed out, he took his stick and he pointed out to moon. And he said, I think we should go to the moon planet. And I should go and preach there. I can see that the people there have become very materialistic. This is the vision of a pure devotee. You can see. They can understand what's going on. According to the will of Krishna, he could see that the moon planet has become materialistic and it is the time for preaching. See Bhaktisiddhanta's vision. But see, there's a handful acceptance of the demigod planets. And they do accept demigods. They are personalities. Srila Prabhupada gives a list of great acharyas who had complete faith in Vedic literature and who have studied Vedic literature and who have taught Vedic literature. Many times, Srila Prabhupada would present this argument when one asks, whether is this true? Does it actually work? Whether this Vedic literature is really true? Is it Krishna conscious? Does it really work? If someone asks us such kind of question, in many of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada presents a statement, an argument, based upon the faith and life of great acharyas. He says, look at these intelligent acharyas. Look at Rupa Goswami, look at Sanatana Goswami, look at Ramanujacharya, look at Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami. Look at these great acharyas. They had everything in their life. They were not dumb. They were not less intelligent. They had material opulences. But they were ready to give up everything. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were great ministers. They had everything in their disposal. They had huge wealth. We know, a boat full of gold coins. Can you imagine, even if you think now, it is something, right? A boat full of gold coins, a lot of wealth. And Rupa Goswami, he used Yukta Vairagya. He didn't use for his personal purpose. He divided and distributed in such a way that he could escape from the whole government, and also his brother could leave the whole thing and join the party of Lord Chaitanya. So this is Yukta Vairagya. We speak about Yukta Vairagya, but the problem is we can become attached. We use the term Yukta Vairagya. Yes, I am using this nice car. Very expensive. Why, Prabhu? Because Yukta Vairagya, our philosophy is Yukta Vairagya. Anything in service of Krishna. Yeah, it is correct. But it is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. So it is, one has to be first detached. That we shouldn't forget that aspect. Yes, use anything in service of Krishna as far as we can. That is correct. But we don't have the right to get attached to those things. We forget the attachment part. Then we said use it. Maybe for Krishna, sometime for Krishna and sometime for me. That's where the problem comes. So these great devotees, they were detached and they gave up. And they served Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada uses their examples to show that they were such great personalities, but they were ready to worship the Lord solely and wholly, giving up all material comforts. Amazing. In fact, if you see the works of Srila Jiva Goswami, it is mentioned that he was not at all in a materially comfortable situation when he was writing Shatandarbha, the six Sandarbhas. This sixth thesis is considered the greatest philosophical work in the human literature. Previously, the Western scholars were completely after the works of Shankaracharya. They were after Sharirika Bhashya, the commentary to Vedanta Sutra. And it took time for them to discover Srila Jiva Goswami. But then when they discovered, they understood the greatness of this Sandarbhas. The presentation, the authenticity, the logic. Great. And in fact it is true, it's not just for an ordinary man. The presentation is so high that only a learned person can really appreciate such work. So they could present such work and they could perform pure devotional service even materially in an impoverished condition. So this shows, Srila Prabhupada takes that example to show that, okay, even such great personalities had faith in God and they did worship Krishna and they demonstrated what is pure devotional service and they taught. So here Prabhupada is presenting a list of these great personalities. Even Shankara, he is hidden Vaishnava. He said, Narayana Paravyaktad. He said, yeah, Narayana is above the material manifestation, temporary manifestation of the material world. He's above that. And we know Lord Shankaracharya, he stated, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja, Mutamate. He worshipped Govinda, that is the highest thing. And also, Shankaracharya has beautiful verses glorifying Krishna and Vrindavan. So, you know, he is such a great personality. Srila Prabhupada continues quoting from Bhagavad Gita. What are the destinations of demigod worshippers? Yanti deva pradhan devan, pitran yanti pradhan pradhan, bhudani yanti bhudejya, yanti madhyajino vima. So, whoever you worship, you attain the planet. So, the formula is pretty simple. So, first one should have faith in demigods, then one can accept the planet of the demigods, then one can accept the real worship of the demigods. Then one can go to their planets. But Krishna says, even if you go to the demigod planet, what happens? One has to come back. Kshine punye martilokam vishanti. So this is not very pleasant. As you know, the life in the demigod planets is very wonderful. Many of them, you know, don't think that everyone has a job. Like many demigods in control, they have a lot of job, but many of them are just enjoying in Nandana Kanana. They are just enjoying. They have their consorts, they have beautiful places, and they are just enjoying there. However, when their lifespan finishes, the last day, they can see something happening to their flower garland. Nice, beautiful flower garland so far. But the last day they could see that it is getting rotten. So then they understand our life is coming to an end. So what happened? Kshine punya marti lokam vishanti. They fall down from the demigod planets. And actually even in the subtle upper realm, there is a planet for the demons. There are some demons in the subtler realm also. So when they fall down from the spiritual sky, these demons try to eat. Okay, in the subtle form. They are both are in subtle form. They try to eat. And it is said, when they try to eat, of course, if they are eating, it is very painful. But they don't die, of course, because the living entity cannot die by such a process. Still, they actually fall down further into the earthly planet. And it actually takes shelter in the form of the rain. It comes to the earthly planet and then takes shelter of the earth. And then it becomes part of the grain. And when a man eats that grain, he comes to the body of the man and then transferred into the semen of a man. So this is how from demigod planets enjoying, then finally taking shelter in a human being. So this is the position of demigods. So they were enjoying at one point, but now not there anymore. They are competing to get another life with millions of other living entities. This is the reality. So then coming to a human form, how rare it is. So difficult. So even having achieved such a great position, still one is falling down. Prabhadananda Saraswati Thakur, he says, he makes very controversial statements according to non-devotees. But for devotees it is completely acceptable. So Prabhadananda Saraswati Thakur, a great devotee in Vrindavan, he says, Kaivalyam Narakayate. He says, Kaivalyam Narakayate. Kaivalyam means the impersonal liberation, the Sayujya Mukti, which great yogis and great tapasvis are aspiring for. It is Narakayate. It is just as bad as hell. So impersonal liberation is hellish. It is mentioned, Mukdha Sayujya Dobhur. Sayujya Mukti is considered Mukdha. Very attractive. But Prabhupada Sanskrit says, it is hellish. Because without worship of the Lord, a pure devotee consider it is hellish. Even hell, there is a possibility of worshipping the Lord because one has individuality. But in the impersonal Brahman, that facility is apparently taken away. So he considers it hellish. And then Prabhupada Sanskrit says, Tridashapura Akasha Pushpayate. He says, this Tridashapura, Tridasha is Indra. Indra's planet, the demigod's planet as mentioned here, it is Akasha Pushpayate. It is just a phantasmagoria. It is just flowers in the sky. We don't see flowers in the sky. If you want to see flowers, we have to see a plant, a tree. Then we can see flowers. But not in the sky. Similarly, for a pure devotee, he has no faith in worshipping demigod and going to the planet of the demigod. He has lost it. No point. Then he says, very interesting point, that Vidhi Mahendra Desha Kitayate. Vidhi means Lord Brahma. Mahendra means Lord Shiva. They are as insignificant as insects. It's not an offense to demigods. But in comparison to the Supreme Lord, they are insignificant. It's not denying their worship to the Lord. This purport also emphasizes that point. The demigods are in direct service to the Lord. But if you are a devotee, do not approach such a demigod for material fulfillment. Never. So, they have faith in demigods. They understand they exist. But they do not go to the demigods for any material benefit. Because they approach Krishna. That is the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam also. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yacheta purishambaram. The verse before, the previous verse. Whatever it is, you approach Krishna. Even if you have material desire, approach Krishna. Even if you don't have material desire, approach Krishna. Sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam mentions this very important point. That ichchavidhanam nichapada pallavam. Even if you go with an ulterior motive in worshipping Krishna, the Lord says, no problem. You want to worship with ulterior motive? with material desire, Krishna says, okay, no problem. Still you come to me because I can purify you. I can use your material desire. I can fulfill your material desire in such a way that you will not ask me for that again. So that is the fulfillment of Krishna. Whereas for the demigods, if you go to the demigods, if you go for some material desire, they will fulfill the material desire and your desire for further enjoyment remains. There is no transformation of the heart. They just go, it's like going to a bank, you have a check sign, you go to the teller, you ask for money, if you have the money in the account, they will give you the account, money, that's it. Just like if you have the punya, if you have the pious credit, yes, you can go to the demigod planet. When the credit is finished, come back. That's all. Like a credit card, you know, a debit card, credit card, you know, you have debit, is there? Okay, you put the money, you get the money. Use the card. After that, nothing. Whereas, worshipping Krishna means going to our Father. So he sees whether you really need it or I can give you in such a way that you won't ask me again. So Krishna has other things to do. He is not only, you know, giving benedictions. That's not the only purpose of Krishna. He wants to purify and he wants to take everyone back to Godhead. So it is Ichha Vidhanam Nijapada Pallavam. That is Krishna. Worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna is all encompassing. Krishna can take care of everything, not one aspect. Oh, material desire? No problem. Desire for liberation? No problem. Pure bhakti? No problem. Everything is taken care by worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. So Krishna's lotus feet is so broad, so wide, so beautiful. So everything is taken care. Now we have to really speak about this verse in which a very beautiful aspect, point is mentioned. How can we get this devotional service? How can we get this devotional service? Where does this devotional service come from? Does it come from Krishna? Yeah, one can say, yes, it can come from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Ultimately, one can say it comes from Krishna. But Krishna doesn't give his pure devotional service very easily. Krishna doesn't want to give. What to do? Krishna doesn't want to give pure bhakti. What can we do? If there is a great personality and we are minute, insignificant, and if according to their will, if they don't give, what is our hope in attaining that? Can we go and fight? Krishna, give me pure devotional service. Give me now. No. This is like first one may come to the temple, understand the devotional concept. Then one asks the Lord, Krishna, give me devotion now. But after sometimes, you know, understand our situation, then one actually begs to the Lord, oh my Lord, I have no qualification, kindly give me. One becomes a bit soft and mellowed down. Because understand one's own heart. Understand we really don't want, we want to somehow or other practice Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is a bit stingy in terms of awarding devotion service in the pure category. So one of the nature of Bhava Bhakti is Sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means extremely rare to achieve. Extremely rare to achieve. Because Krishna can be controlled by pure devotion. So Krishna doesn't want to give so easily. Sudurlabha. And the gopi says to Krishna, they make, your name is Nanda Nandana. Nanda. Nanda. Meaning, na dadati. You don't give. You don't give. You have the bhakti, you don't give so easily. So you are Nanda Nandana. You don't want to give your pure devotion so easily. So you are covered by na dadati. I don't want to give. So this is the nature of Krishna. He doesn't want to give. So how can we really get pure devotion? What is our hope? How can we get bhakti at all? So the conclusion is that the bhakti is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. Only a pure devotee who has Krishna, he can give Krishna. That is the process. We are not directly approaching Krishna, but through a pure devotee. So that is emphasized in this verse. So where is our devotion coming from? It is coming from The heart of Srila Prabhupada. From the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Because Krishna is present in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna has Prabhupada has captured Krishna by his pure devotion. So only because of that, he is able to give Krishna to others. So he travels around the world and he distributed Krishna. And by the mercy of the followers, we are in touch with Krishna consciousness. So see the importance of association of the devotees. Here, another important point. One could read Bhagavad Gita and understand. But without the association of the devotees, one cannot understand Bhagavad Gita at all. We see many people, everyone, as I said, yeah, I have a copy of Bhagavad Gita. As it is, I tried to read, but I couldn't understand. Have you seen this kind of people? Yeah, I read a couple of chapters, but actually I couldn't get anything out of it. I couldn't understand anything. Then we say, okay, no problem. Come and hear a lecture. You hear from a person who have studied and practicing Bhagavad Gita. Then you will understand Bhagavad Gita. So this is the reality. One needs association of the devotees, otherwise one cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. And think about reading just Bhagavad Gita without Srila Prabhupada's purport. What is the hope? There is no hope. And different commentators, the so-called commentators, they also write different kinds of purport. But the emphasis is something else. I was hearing from a devotee mentioning that in one purport, not Srila Prabhupada, some other practitioner, he is giving a purport to Bhagavad Gita for the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So we know sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is Dhyana Yoga. It is Ashtanga Yoga. So in that chapter, you know, the whole presentation is given of how to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Go to a clean place, you know, you find a kushagras, get the cloth, you know, sit it in the proper way, sit erect, you know, the whole thing is given. Now this particular commentator, he gives whole purport on the importance of kushagras. How is it? The whole importance of kushagras is given. So that is the conclusion of the purport. The kushagras is so important and the importance of deer skin. So it is a fact, it has its significance. But the prime point that an author or a devotee should drive is something else. Srila Prabhupada sees pure devotion service even in such verses. In all these verses, all this Dhyana Yoga, Srila Prabhupada is presenting, one can achieve the same thing by practicing Bhakti Yoga in association of the devotees. So see the viewpoint of Acharyas in Bhakti and others. Wrong emphasis. Wrong priority, and they simply miss the point. So if we need any advancement in Krishna consciousness, we have to stick to the association of the devotees, and there is no other means. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes.
Can you go back to the non-denominational explanation?
Okay. Yeah. Please. Oh, okay. I heard in the lecture, so I can't tell you the exact reference, I forgot. Na is there, da is there. Na, nanda, and na and da is there. So na is not, da is dadati, means gives. Dadati means gives, na dadati means not give. So it's not giving. Yes, bro.
What is the qualification for practicing devotee to attain the pure devotion service?
What is the qualification? Rupa Goswami explains, Tatra lavulyam api mulyam ekalam janma kodi sukrutayar na labhyate. This is the explanation of Rupa Goswami. This is a big statement. Hardly I have any realization about it. The qualification to achieve pure devotional service is lavulyam. Tatra lavulyam api mulyam ekalam. You can ask, what is the price? What is the price? That price is lavulyam. Lavulyam means intense greed, intense desire to achieve that. That is the mulyam ekalam. That is the only
one and only one prize to attain pure devotional service. There is no other means. Intense greed for service. Can you think about that? You may get a shock. Greed for service. Already we can't handle the service we have. Greed for service. It's already too much. Now, what is greed? Give me more. What do we mean, you know? So this is that desire for service. That is actually the price. A kind of a reflection of this, we could see even in the devotees. Some devotees become fired up. You know, Prabhu, I really want to do this. So enthusiastic for service. That is very good. We are moving in the right direction. So Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction says, Utsaham. Correct. Beginning with Utsaham, same dhairya, tattva karma prayojana. So Utsaham, the enthusiasm. So when one develops the real enthusiasm for service, in serving, yes, service, then, okay, that's the beginning steps to Lavalya. And ultimately, how can one get Lavalya? Through the association of the devotees who have intense greed to serve Krishna. That is the prize. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes.
So that means for the next birth or for the next life, or we can change actually our actual karma.
Okay, that's
because according to our past life, we have a good life in a good and bad life.
Yes.
So how can I understand?
Okay, this is a very good question. That is, when we say we can change the destination, what part of our destination could be changed? So it's a very important point. From Nectar of Devotion, we see that the characteristics of devotional service is such that it can burn the karma completely. Right? That is the characteristics of devotional service. Now, the question arises, when, how this happens? When these things take place? There is a beautiful verse in this connection from Padma Purana. Aprarabdha phalam pavam kudam bijam phalonmukam kramanneva praliyeta vishnu bhakti natatmanaha. It actually gives what is the sequence in which our karma is destroyed. So it doesn't happen in one go. We wish to. We would like to go all karma in one go. Okay, snap, finished. We would like to, but it doesn't happen in that way. First, we have to make a distinction between prarabdha and aprarabdha. So by definition, prarabdha karma is the karma which is destined for this lifetime. So that is prarabdha. And aprarabdha is, actually speaking, aprarabdha, we may think that aprarabdha karma is the karma which has to come even in this lifetime. No, by definition it is not. So aprarabdha karma is the karma which are destined for the future lifetimes. So that is aprarabdha. So prarabdha, whatever is destined for this lifetime, and aprarabdha, that is for the next lifetimes. Now, we can, according to devotion, pure devotional service can remove everything. Aprarabdha, papam, kudam, bijam, halonmukham, all different kinds of aspects of karma could be removed by pure devotional service. However, it is mentioned that prarabdha karma, it remains to great degree at least. For example, our body, it is prarabdha karma. We cannot get rid of prarabdha karma in this lifetime, means we are killing ourselves practically. So prarabdha, this body is prarabdha karma. We cannot get rid of that. It takes this lifetime, the end of this lifetime only we can remove that. However, some prarabdha karma could be removed. Nectar of Devotion gives an example. Say, for instance, according to the Vedic system, many times if somebody is not qualified as a brahmana, he cannot study Veda. So generally the Vedic studies start from the childhood and then it goes on. However, if somebody is coming from a lower background,
he is born as lover and he didn't study Shastra. He was completely out from the Vedic circle altogether. However, if one chants Krishna's name, he is qualified to study all the Vedas. And it's also mentioned, Tebustadejuhu Shashinararya Brahmanachu Namagrahantiyete. That is, he has already committed, he has already done all the pious activities and studies of Vedas in the previous life, if he is chanting the holy names of Krishna. So, in that position, his prarabdha karma is that he cannot study Veda. It's a prarabdha karma actually. He's in a lower condition. But because of devotional service, he is qualified to study Veda now and he can study Veda now. So that is a change in prarabdha karma. But there are certain prarabdha karma which are destined for this lifetime which we cannot change. For example, the body. Now it comes to the interesting point. Okay, we may have different karma and we are performing devotional service. Can it be changed in this lifetime, some of the prarabdha karma? Answer is yes, it is possible. Even in this lifetime, it is possible. Why? Because in a devotee's life, Krishna has his hand. Krishna uses the prarabdha karma from this lifetime and he uses as a purificatory tool for that devotee. Krishna uses, it's not karma anymore for such a devotee. So even prarabdha, in one sense, is wiped out because of devotional service, because Krishna uses that karma, that prarabdha karma, as a tool, a purificatory tool for that devotee, and he adjusts. He doesn't take everything as it is. He adjusts, okay? He needs a little bit extra this, okay, I'll give extra. Remove a little bit, okay, I'll remove. I'll make the adjustment. The Krishna uses. So, the answer to the question is, even the karma which are destined to this lifetime could be changed. But the karmic pattern may remain the same. But there can be some changes. Krishna can change. Such that we get purified and we can perfect our life. Is that clear? Yeah. Yes.
So can you elaborate more on pure devotional service? What does it actually include?
The activities, the angas of bhakti, to please Krishna, only for pleasing Krishna. So in our context, we have to get the instructions of the devotees and of the spiritual master and execute with full heart. That is the currently we can, and we see what are we thinking while performing devotional service. Currently, where we are and where we are meant to be. Initially, we may not be doing it full of enthusiasm, but we act, we try, we do out of duty and try to get that attraction for the devotional service. And then the consciousness changes. It takes time, but the consciousness in which we were doing one service 10 years back and now must be different. It must improve. It takes time, but it must improve. Yes, sir.
Worshipping the demigods, the heart is not purified, there is no transformation.
Yeah, that's right.
Here in the verse it says all the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods attain the highest perfectional which is, it specifies, which is spontaneous attraction.
Yes.
The
question is that, I mentioned that by worshipping the demigods there is no transformation of the heart. Whereas it is mentioned, ultimately the worshippers of the demigods, they will attain unflinching spontaneous devotional service under the Supreme Lord. So can we reconcile this fact? So the point here is, Purport explains, what does the demigod worship can give us? It doesn't give transformation of the heart, but it gives something. What is that? It gives us faith in Shastra. It gives us faith in Vedas. It's the big thing. So I have worshipped the demigod and I have attained this. So this the Shastra must be true. Then one is ready to gain higher understanding of the same Shastra. See, that is, then one can actually take the association of the devotees. Ultimately this verse again pinpoint that one can attain devotional service only through the association of the pure devotees. That is the final statement. So one can take to that step and then one can actually purify the heart. It's not by the fruitive mentality of demigod worship that actually elevates one to spontaneous devotional service. That is a big thing.
There is a huge difference. Hare Krishna. Grantha Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gita Gaura Premam ki.